talking about partial victory. That's a doctrine that a lot of people out here hear today, if they hear any victory at all. But there's been many times when, even in the church, people, Church of God, we hear different ones talking about, you know, they have a difficult time determining what's a sin and what's a mistake and these types of things. And I was reminded by a story Brother Emerson Wilson told. He said a sister went down to the altar one time. The pastor went down to help her pray, and he said, "Sister, what can I help you pray about?" And he said, "Pastor, I just have a problem. I have a problem looking in the mirror and just looking at myself. And I know I'm sinning because I just think I'm just so beautiful." The pastor said, "Sister, that's not sin. That's a mistake." So, you pray for us. Honey, could you bring my black binder up here, please? But we're truly thankful for these Friday night services. It's just a breath of fresh air in some respects. We get very formal, don't we? We get very to the place to where we forget. And I know I have my notes here somewhere. No, not all of it tonight. Yeah, I'm preparing for it. But God knows our heart and what we have planned, and God knows He knows where my notes are. And there they are, thank the Lord. Because you start out, you're already nervous when you get up here. It doesn't matter if there's 5 people or 20 people. I get into a nervous wreck anyway because, number one, I realize, thank you, brother, my own deficiencies as a speaker. God knows it's something that I battle with in myself. And it's also a very fearful position. Whether you're teaching, whether you're preaching, whether you're singing. And God knows it's a very fearful thing to do, but it's also a great thing to feel when you know that you're in God's order, in the order of God's will and His Spirit. Something that's been on our mind, and I can't bring to you messages on the revelation, and I can't bring to you messages on certain things that I don't know about. I know about these things, but God's not asked me to teach those types of things. And I can only teach things that I personally have experienced. I can only teach things that I personally have been through. But something that's been on my mind quite a bit lately, you know, there used to be a time, and I always used to see it on camp meeting flyers, for wherever you might be, there always used to be 3 little things that they would put on those flyers. Does anybody know what those 3 things were? And healing. Those 3 things. And they always used to put on there for singing, inspirational singing. Didn't they? That's what I always remember. Inspirational singing, Holy Ghost preaching, divine healing. Those 3 things. And they always put it in a circle around a picture or list them out. Something that has stuck with me lately is inspiration. And our own inspiration. And, you know, I started thinking about just that word, inspiration, and inspire. What does it mean to be inspired? And then I started thinking, well, Ford created a car, and it wasn't Inspire, it's Aspire, but they're pretty close in termination. You know, I aspire to drive a small car. There's nothing wrong with the car. I aspire to take gas. Small. Or I inspire to do such and such a thing, whatever it might be. But they always use that with leaders, too. Inspirational leadership. And I started digging into what it means to have inspiration and what it means to be inspired. And the word inspire means to fill, based on Webster's, to fill with an animating, quickening, or exalting impact. To inspire confidence in others. To fill or affect with a specified feeling, thought. I'd like for us to turn to Job, if you could. And Job 32, we've all heard of Job's comforters. Me and some of the guys I run with, Mike Rice and Scott Bradshaw, and sometimes I have to remind them, you know, or they remind me, stop being Job's comforter. Sometimes we don't want to hear exactly what we'd really like to hear. There was one time I had a problem. We were over in Tennessee coming from camp meeting, and Mike was in the car with me, and I'll never forget it. And I won't let him forget it. But just trying to pull out from the gas station, and nothing happened on that car. Trying to turn it over, it just... nothing happened. And there's nothing like being away from home, a long ways away from home, and something happened with your car. And good old Mike, he was there giving me suggestions. Maybe it's a starter. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. And I thought, thank you, Job's comforter. That's just what I wanted to hear. And so we've always had a running joke there. But here was Job with all of his friends around, Job's comforters. And Elihu decided to give his opinion on the matter, but there was something specific, and I'll talk to you specifically about everything that he shared. But in chapter 32 and verse number 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. And then if you could, turn over to Galatians 6 and 9, and some of you know by heart. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And in this day and age, when it seems like there's so many different, you know, if you're looking to be inspired by a fellowship, you would be in trouble. If you're looking to be inspired by some outside inspirational leader, you're going to be disappointed. There's one thing that's really hindering us today, and I see for my own self what I wrestle with is my own inspiration. Not of who gave me my inspiration, because that's not it at all, but sometimes it seems like there's so many different factions that war against us continuing and continuing and continuing. And I'll give you some examples of ones that continue. Some of them are in this room. And I'm glad they came tonight. And I didn't invite them. They came on their own. But they came to my mind as far as ones that inspire and others that inspire to continue on. But probably the worst enemy of enthusiasm for any one given thing is our time. Human beings have a remarkable and sad capacity for getting tired of wonderful things. Almost every one of you can think of something you were enthusiastic about recently, but then that joy fades. Now, some of us find a new vehicle. And I'll bring this because, I'm not saying this because Brother Mike and Sister Kelly just got a new vehicle. Not long ago, Brother Casey and Sister Faith got a newer vehicle, and I can relate to it. There's something about getting in a car and having that new car smell.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait till so-and-so rides. I can smell the new car smell. But it's not long before that smell fades. And you'll say, oh, nobody's going to eat in my car. Nobody's going to drink in my car. And then before you know it, you got to run, got to get something fast. And then people start eating in your car. And then it's, oh, we'll eat and go. Or we'll eat on the run. And we'll grab something and take it to the car. We'll just have a snack. It's only an ice cream cone. It's only that sparkling red punch that you might, or Kool-Aid that you might bring that you can't get out of anything else. But it fades real quick. Your first day of vacation, maybe you go to the ocean, and, oh, watching that sunset, it's breathtaking. But by the end of your stay, you hardly notice it. Yeah, you're thinking about packing up and going home. Vacationers get tired of sunsets. Millionaires get tired of their money. Kids get tired of toys. I can speak from experience. More than one way. Before you know it, before the evening's out, something new. Barbie only lasts for so long.
Yeah.
And then that joy fades. And you know what? Christians get tired of doing good. And it may not be just abstaining from certain things. Sometimes they get tired of going and doing and going and doing. That first excitement of teaching Sunday school, God was just right there. And you pray and you fast. And I can speak from experience. Sometimes it seems like your steam runs out. When people in your audience fall asleep, it's tough. And not only them doing it, but them doing it openly.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hide it. You're laughing because I know you've experienced it. and it's sad because here you go and you labor and you're trying to get the mind of the Lord. And I can understand after you get past a certain age and sitting.
Yeah.
There could be fatigue, but these aren't old people or seasoned saints. But that thrill kind of leaves you. At first, you felt clean and strong in the Holy Spirit as you drove the van. Maybe you were a bus ministry. starts out real strong.
Yeah. Woo!
And then after the first month, I can keep doing this. Second month, I can keep doing this. Third month, oh, I wish somebody else had the purpose that could help me carry the load. And then 6 months, this thing just ain't working out. How many times have you started at the beginning of the year and say, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through? And you get till who begat who.
Yeah.
And that somewhat derails you. But it doesn't take a whole lot to seep away our heart and our inspiration to begin doing things. I want to share with you some things that not only have I had to do differently even this week, because I felt like this week these were things that were on my mind, is how to fix your own inspiration. Because there's times when, and I look at this work here in Lenore, because it's new, it's fresh, it's different. We're meeting in the basement of a library. Who would have thought a year ago? And who would have thought that God's Spirit can dwell here just as much as He can a fancy church building? But believe it or not, after a certain period of time, this in itself will get into a rut. It goes into the routine and no inspiration. We'll get into form. We're very habit-forming creatures. And we always seem to... It's very difficult, you know, in all things, it's very difficult to keep balance. I don't drive on roads that are sideways. But my tires always end up out of balance. Have you noticed that? I've been to places where, as far as the way that they teach, some are on the far left, and some are on the far right. But it's very difficult for many places to keep balance.
That's
right. It's true. It's a pendulum. It swings. So, some things that I've had to do differently myself to improve my own inspiration. And these are things that you can take away out of this, whatever you feel pertains to you. But I thought that this was important, and it really hit home with me. Some things that I felt was important. Spend time with those who are motivated. Spend time with those that are inspired. Because you can find plenty of people that lack inspiration. Depression is very contagious. Negative feelings and thoughts and mentalities, you can find them everywhere. We are easily influenced by people around us. If we spend time with motivated and focused people, their energy will rub off on us. If we want to improve our running, you got to spend time with runners.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have, it's almost like, I don't know about you, but when I go out and maybe I start walking, I'll walk. It's much easier to walk with someone else than it is by yourself. Because I'll use exercise for an example. When you start doing it by yourself, it traditionally becomes a short-lived experience. But if you have someone else that you can depend upon and say, let's go walking together. Brett Clark, he's been out on the track and he finds people he walks with. It is, and it helps pass the time. But if you want to improve running, walking, you need to seek the company of other runners or walkers. Remember our early enthusiasm. When we get saved, oh, it's the greatest thing, and I don't want to take away from that, because I think that that's something that we always have to feed upon, is that first, those first steps, those first things that we begin going down that path. It's just something that, it's a feeling like we've never experienced before. I can remember just different services that we've been in. And I'll tell you, I would pay money if I could to go back. And I don't take anything away from where we're at today, because I understand God has different points in time that He works in different ways. But I know that there were some times, I can think back even to Marion. When it just seemed like there was something special and different at that point in time. And there was such a specialness about a service. And there was a time when I felt like we genuinely appreciated God's Word, and God's Spirit would come down in such a mighty way through song, through testimony. You could walk away from a service and you could hear singing and you could hear preaching and you'd say it was a good service. If we have been practicing something for several years, it can become routine. We're talking about that. What we need to do is remember our initial enthusiasm. The problem is that we can soon forget the good experiences and then focus on where we are presently. Remembering the good experiences will help to feel more real in the present moment. There's times when I love going back to, you know, I like picking up an old church tape, old song tape, and listening. Part of my prized music collection is, and I've got a CD in the car of the old Church of God records that they inspire me to a time that I don't see today. And when it seemed like it wasn't a struggle to get 20 people to sing together, but there was well over 100 people that wanted to sing for the Lord. But it's the Spirit that was in their voices that this says. You can hear it. I can hear it. The unity of their voices and feeling it and being there. Another point is to teach others. There's nothing that makes you feel greater in yourself than your ability to watch and be a help to someone else. Because if you're not helping someone else, you're not even helping yourself. Just this past year, and we mentioned some about the last lesson, there's just a joy that comes along with helping someone begin to understand and grab a hold of things. And we had a young man there at the congregation. He's not there now, but he'll never forget. And I still contact him and be in touch with him. There's others there. They'll never forget. They'll never forget. And there's so much that could be brought out into helping others. But that really, if we stop helping, and we stop becoming that light to individuals around us, you know, Brother Emerson listened to a message not long ago And he said, God saved you to save others. He didn't save you just because he loved you. He saved you so that you would also be a light to others. And that's always stuck with me. And sometimes in our daily lives, it's very easy to forget why we are supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very true. Another point, to keep our life simple. In our modern life, we are very good at adding unnecessary complications. Believe it or not. There are so many different things to distract and pull our attention away. And the more distractions we face, the more difficult it is to remain motivated. Especially when it is our... There's so much that could be said about that. Just for the simple fact that this world focuses on getting your attention all the time. And we are so susceptible to follow them. Something else that's pretty important that I've really had to deal with is working out the priorities of your life. If we find ourselves lacking in motivation, we may have our finger in several different pies. If we're trying to do several things at once, but none of them are really giving us the satisfaction that we need. I've come to find for my own self that I could do many things at the same time, but you can only do a handful of things well. And if you're so spread thin, I've found this at work, I found this at church, I found this at home, that if you spread yourself so thin, there's just something about that I like about chocolate eclair. And it doesn't taste as good if that little chocolate layer is just barely there. Have you noticed that? But when it's thick, it tastes really good. And I say that to say this. If you're spread really thin, your effectivity to others. You know, if every time that you come to an appointment, believe it or not, I have nothing planned after this. I plan to come to this all day long. So whenever we leave here, I'm not rushing to go to something else. But there are some people, and I'm not talking about them in a negative way, but they've got one thing planned after another thing planned after another thing planned. Saturday is boom, 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 boom. I've got this to do, run to here, run to there, get groceries, do that, do this. And at the end of the day, that they're exhausted and they don't feel like they've gotten anything accomplished. The devil can keep us running. And we've got to be careful. And you know what? There could be things that we feel like are necessary for us to do. And I'm not taking away from that. There's going to be times when it's going to be necessary for you to do several things at the same time. But God gave us some way in order for every position to be filled. That's why he has this body. And if just a handful of people are doing most of the work, then what that means is some of the body is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, that's often the way it is. Yeah. It's hard to find laborers. There's a which that's another lesson in itself, but there are those that are in the playing field, and there's those that are on the sidelines. And some of them aren't even on the sidelines, they're in the stands. They have no intention of playing. Some don't even come to the game. Didn't even think about that one, but you're right. Some don't even come to the game. That's
right.
That's very true. It's very true. Another point, we're almost done, is a change of scene. And sometimes if we coast along in a comfortable life, we become used to comfort and tend to choose simple, easy options. It is when faced with real challenges that we are forced to look at issues from a different perspective. Getting out of a comfort zone could be a very powerful way to regain your motivation. When faced with adversity, it brings the best out in ourselves. You know, there was nothing that gave me greater joy when and it just seems like it's easy for us to just dismiss and let people go when they come into our doors and they may not stick. But I remember a time when it was last August. And my brother-in-law was staying at the house. And he was gone. We didn't know what had happened. He didn't tell anybody he was leaving. And God didn't have to say many words, but He said, go. And so my question was, go where? Because we didn't know where to go. And He said, just go. Just go. And I said, okay. Told my boss, I said, boss, I'm leaving early. Gotta go. And as we, you know, approached a town as big as Charlotte, we had some general idea where to find him. And we went, and there was nobody there. And so we thought, oh, Lord, Lord, if you want us to find him, you'll help us. And then we went to a restaurant that he worked at. Nobody was there. And so we waited. We said, Lord, if we're supposed to find him tonight, you're going to make a way. And we went back to where we first started. And lo and behold, there he was. And I'm so thankful. Because it was easy. It's easy to just dismiss it. Yeah, right. Stay in your comfort zone. No, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay at work. I want to. If you want it to happen, Lord, you'll make a different way. But God made a way, and I'm thankful for how He's doing today. I am beside myself. But when faced with adversity, when you're faced with something that's stronger than you ever think, God will come in and He'll take care of it. If you say, Lord, if God sent you there, He's going to send you there for a reason. And if I had walked away, and it would have been a struggle, Sister Clark, if we didn't find him. I'd say, Lord, you said go. But God found a way. And I'm so thankful. Last point, which is something that we all get into the place of doing. Stop thinking about the lost motivation. And start doing something. Start doing anything to change the way that you are operating. If you've lost that deep seated joy. It's easy to lose joy. Seems like Scripture says, count it all joy. When adversity comes your way, count it all joy. But it's not easy to do. I heard a story on Odyssey, Adventures in Odyssey. And the girl kept being dealt with difficult things that came her way. And the scripture of her week was, count it all joy. And so every time adversity came her way, she said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. The devil could get no greater joy than to make you stop. Focus on all the bad stuff. Focus on all the things that aren't going well. Focus on all the things that who gets along with who. Focus on there's so many things that he is good at getting us diverted from. And I come to you tonight to just tell you to find, if you're not inspired, or if you're losing your inspiration, or if you're struggling to find holding on to it, these steps have definitely helped me this week. When you start thinking about that, when the first lesson, spend time with those who are motivated. That kind of changes your whole perspective. Because if you're not spending time with people that are motivated, you're spending time with people that are demotivated. That's that balance. And most people aren't in the middle. They're either motivated or demotivated. And birds of a feather usually flock together. So if you're demotivated, it's easy to go into the demotivated state. But if you're really craving what God will really have for you, find the motivated. Find the ones that are motivated. So, but that's our lesson for tonight. And